school? Why did you go to Carleton, and why did you stop going to Carleton?
I went to Carleton mostly because of my father. He's a computer engineer, and he did pretty well in school. He just always wanted me to have some kind of plan to fall back on. So I was getting a lot of pressure in my house to do something academic, because I was just at home making beats and not really trying to concentrate on anything, any scholastic endeavors. So he didn't really give me an ultimatum, but he began to get very frustrated with me. And I could tell in his attitude that if I didn't kind of do something scholastically, that it would be harder and harder for me to do music in my house.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I basically did was, Carleton had a January acceptance. So I just kind of enrolled, got in, and I took like one course or something.
Oh, really? Yeah. So you weren't, even when you went there, you weren't there?
Yeah, I just took Introduction to Islam or something. And the rest of the time I was at the studio. In fact, that's where I recorded my first music. Yeah, all that stuff. It's cool. It was, and then I'd gone to York the next following year, tried again, but again, music interrupted because my video came out. Then I had to go on tour with the Rascals and get a concept and all that. So after York, I was just like, I want to just continue with this music thing and then maybe see what's up with school.
Yeah.
And more and more, I'm kind of leaning towards that way now, also to kind of do something more academic, you know?
Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So does that mean you think you're satisfied with what you've done musically?
I'm not satisfied as much as I'm just trying to, I feel like it's going to be easy for me to just continue. That's okay. It's going to be easy for me to finish off what I've started with this album and then be in a position to make different choices, you know?
Talk about your musical journey. From when you started recording, I guess, in Toronto, doing beats in Toronto, and Carleton, video, and then to where you are right now?
I mean, I guess you could call it a natural progression. Everything kind of just, one thing I was always very aware of, I never wanted to force anything. I wanted things to feel for me, and also to look to the people who are listening, and also to appear to the people who are listening and watching me, that everything was happening naturally. I didn't want it to seem contrived or prefabricated. Yeah. And I think that was accomplished because I was very paranoid about the choices I made, about the songs I put out, of how it sounded. And I was all a bit sort of paranoid too about people seeing me develop, but I think that ended up being a good thing, of people kind of watching me go from whatever I was doing in musical lessons to kind of where I am now, because they feel they're a part of your life. And kind of something about that first video, I kind of feel people saw me kind of go from like a boy to kind of more of a man kind of thing.
Yeah.
Saw me grow up, you know, grow a beard, etc. I think that has an effect on people, and they feel that they know you and they can relate to you, and you've just been around and you're kind of like something in their consciousness. So I think it was great all the way it happened, and I wouldn't wish it any other way.
Yeah. So how about, I don't know, I think I find your music to be pretty spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
How about your spiritual journey from where you were when you started doing where you are?
Spiritual journey. Yeah, my parents were very, very religious, so a lot of that was set for me from probably 0 to 16. It wasn't until I was around 17 or 18 that I started to make choices of my own and investigate miles and mounds of paper and religions. And now that journey has just continually showed me that, you know, you just have to have faith in yourself, and that a lot of the secret and answers lie within. And people always kind of search outside for answers, but you know, spirituality is about how you feel, how you relate to the God within you, how you relate to the infinity and the greatness within you that's already there. I think that's the prime battle everyone's going through, is happening within.
And you say battle. So
I mean, well, battle because, you know, the world is one way, and what you would like to be maybe another way. In other words, the world might be one way, but who you want to be inside might be different. So you're forced to deal with your environment that's going one way, but you're also forced to deal with the feelings you have inside. And for those of us who aren't, you know, extremely fitted for pop culture, whatever the world dictates, there's going to be a battle there, because you start to end up, you know, kind of seeing that you don't really fit in. And then you either spend your life trying to fit in, or It's very like fighting not to fit in. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
So how have you gone about dealing with the environment that is not the same as the one you want?
I mean, well, the first thing is you can't change people. No one man can change the world. Those are important things to remember, I think. And I think the other side of it is that you can actually affect your own environment. And when you affect your own environment, then there's these trickle-down effects. There's this domino effects that happen outside of you, but first you have to fix yourself. Complete freedom starts within yourself, and then it goes without. If you try to change the environment first, then you know, you're trying to fight something you have no control over. If you change yourself, you start seeing you buy. You start pulling different people into your environment. You start, different people start becoming attracted to you. You start becoming attracted to different people. But it's like kind of like if you rent a Hyundai and you've never driven one, all of a sudden you start noticing all the Hyundais on the street. It's the same thing with spirituality. Once you start noticing certain universal laws, your life starts to, your outlook starts to change.
I heard you talk with hip-hop as religion.
Right.
I heard a lot of people talk like that.
Right.
And then there's spirituality and religion and spirituality, and they aren't the same thing.
They aren't the same thing.
I don't think so.
No, religion is just someone, the observance of your spirituality. All religion is if someone was to be spiritual and to live a certain way, it would be someone documenting that way of life and trying to follow it. Because you see, religion first came out of people trying to follow other men. So they had to document the lifestyle they were living so that they could follow other men, because they maybe didn't go within themselves and try to make those changes so they would naturally live like that. So religion then becomes like driving lessons. It's like some guy might drive a tractor on his dad's farm since he was 10. So when he starts driving a car, he has a natural, he understands things about using the steering wheel and the equipment that he doesn't have to be told by a driving instructor. Whereas someone who's never driven before needs to be shown a diagram and It's the same thing with religion. Some people naturally find their relationship with God, and then there's other people who see that and want to be like that. So they ask those men, well, how did you do that? And then they start telling them, and then they watch them pray 5 times a day, so they do it. And so religion isn't this bad thing that was made up by people who were spiritually inclined. Because the most spiritual men, from Jesus Christ on and on and on, will tell you that, you know, you have to see God within you. The kingdom of God is within inside of you. But I think more importantly, religion a lot of times is something that's there for people to follow. And that's why I said hip-hop is religion, because people have to grasp it as a religion first before they can grasp the spiritual aspects. They have to see that it's sacred. They have to see that they can't just copy it and use it for a Pringles commercial, etc. If it's religious, then maybe that's a good way of communicating to people that it's not entertainment only, that there's a religious aspect to it, and that's why I said that.
So following something is okay?
Following something is okay. Everyone follows. It's just what you're following. You know what I mean? If we didn't follow, money wouldn't work. You know, if we didn't follow, you know, everyone would bump each other when we got on the train. There has to be, the universe has some order to it. It's just, man has the option of not following, and so therefore, he's a free moral agent. Which actually makes him very unique creation, is that unlike a lion or a dog or something, we have the ability to go against natural law, and that allows us to be free within that freedom to disobey. It's kind of the genius of creation, but I think sooner or later man will figure out that there's a way to do things, whether he wants to run away from it or not.
Okay. And in your lyrics you talking about getting people to realize they aren't who they think they are.
Right.
Yeah. So how's that?
That more comes from what I just said, is that, you know, the people who we, the images that we try to put out to people, or the images that are pushed upon us, might not always be who we are. We might just be those things because we think it's cool to be it, or something in our soul feels that we'll be fulfilled if we're this type of person. But maybe that's not who we really are. Maybe we're something deeper, that maybe we need to look in a different type of mirror, and not just compare ourselves all the time to what society says. Maybe we really need to see who we really are. It's just, I guess, a metaphor for self-awareness and seeing what's beyond the surface.
How do you go about doing this hip-hop? Do you have a daily routine that you fit in that allows you to accomplish what you want to?
No, not really. I kind of just do what I feel.
Like you were saying, how it comes natural?
Yeah, just...
Just kind of have let it come?
Yeah, just, you gotta just... It's kind of like riding a surfboard, you know? It's like... Hip-hop would be the hip hop would be the wave, and your job is to figure out how to. You can't try to attack the waves. You can't try to conquer it. You basically have to just ride it. It's the same thing with hip hop. Kind of just gotta get a feel for the natural movements of how it goes, and know when the wave is moving this way, you move that way. It's kind of like you get very sensitive to this giant, this natural phenomena of hip hop. You know,
and just doing it, you learn it.
You learn it. Yeah, you fall down, you get up, you make mistakes, you learn.
I want to talk about your trip up to California.
Right.
That kind of interested me in that, like, kind of getting away from everything.
Right.
Helping you see things in a different way. What was it about that that really made it work so well or help you out? Or
Probably because of being at the center of that whole Hollywood entertainment capital of the world. It made me start coming to some important decisions about who I wanted to be or what I wanted to do or how I wanted my career to manifest. And I guess it just forced me in a corner to kind of realize I don't want to be, you know, I didn't want to be like what was out there. And I think it was just a good lesson in what not to do. Right.
And so I thought that having this opportunity to talk with you about hip hop, I know there's a lot of issues around
right.
stereotypes and prejudices and
right.
understanding.
Right.
Do you want to talk a bit about that?
I mean, hip hop is a music that has been evolved out of the ghettos of inner cities, whether it's in Jamaica or the United States. Inner cities are composed of all races, from Portuguese to black to white. However, you know, this music has sort of ended up being predominantly black and Latino. And now with the arrival of Eminem, etc., it's now being branched out into other cultures are starting to grab onto hip-hop and see that they can be a part of hip-hop too. I don't think there's anything wrong with other cultures participating in hip-hop. I just think that there's been a lot of black music that have come out of the ghettos that have been exploited and sort of changed to fit more of a pop format. And it's kind of like music, there are people like, you know, in a way the record companies are like musical colonists. It's like they come in into a music, they take it over, and they use the resources to create whatever they want. So yeah, that's my biggest issue with, you know, pop culture and black music, is that people don't give anything back to the music. They just take it and exploit it, so that the lovers of it don't even want to touch it anymore. When I was in a farm living on my grandmother, with my family in Trinidad when I was a boy, my grandmother used to tell me not to touch the puppies when the dog had just had puppies, because if you touch them too much, they start smelling the human touch and they don't want to touch the puppies anymore. So don't interfere with them. And I think that's what happens with a lot of black music, so that it starts at a certain level. And then all of a sudden people exploit. You know, people touch it, and they change the feeling and the smell. And then it ends up that we have to move on to something else. That's why hip hop was created. No one was feeling what was going on in the 70s and 80s with music, so we created something new. And I think people are on the verge of creating other new things now too, so I don't know. That's my biggest issue with race, is that people should respect these underground street musics that sort of grow, because it's vital to the pop culture. It's like, it drives pop culture, it informs pop culture. And the biggest racism issue in hip hop is the fact that the true originators of this music, whether it's KRS-One or whoever, are never recognized for who they are. It's always some band like, you know, NSYNC, or it's never New Edition. It's like NSYNC. It's never, you know, Michael Jackson gets made fun of, but you know, Justin Timberlake imitates him. It's like, I don't know. I just feel like people take the music and do what they want with it, you know?
Yeah.
But music is for all. It should be for everybody if you respect the cultures of the people that created it. And that's why there's other music, like Spanish music and some deeper stuff, that's harder for people to just take and manipulate, so they just leave it alone. But I find black people are always usually open to letting other cultures into their music. As long as you're good and you make people dance and laugh and have fun, they're down with you, and that's beautiful but dangerous at the same time.
How I think your music kind of is making it more accessible maybe to people who wouldn't have heard hip-hop. But like, I know you're on CBC Radio.
Right.
Is that something that you intended to do?
No, I mean, I think it comes back to these types of conversations that I perceive as pseudo-intellectual, or, you know, you become a spokesperson and people like the CBC or the more intelligent aspects of our media will want to gravitate to you because they always probably wanted to talk about hip-hop, but there wasn't a really good dialogue. So I think people are attracted to this music because it's saying something, because it seems positive, you know. The cover's green, it's like about let's go, let's move forward, you know. So it's like, I think because that happens, people are open to trying it. It's kind of like a new kind of dish that people aren't afraid to try. This sort of album, this exit. So, no, there's everything on it. Yeah, there's all kinds of
musical.
Just whatever it felt like doing, it was done, you know?
Yeah. What about. There's no swearing.
No.
That's not common, I'd say.
I mean, it's a challenge. I mean, I swear in my regular conversations, but I think if you have a 3.5 minute song that might last forever, you should choose your words wisely, you know?
Okay.
You want to pick words that are going to mean, every single word's going to mean something, and sometimes those words do mean something in the right context. I'm not saying you can't swear and make it mean something. Just in my case, I didn't find any use for that.
How about just the Canadian hip hop culture versus the American hip hop culture?
Realizations that we are basically American, you know?
Yeah.
Canada is becoming more and more American, so it forces the MCs in Canada have to compete with the States by making music that sounds American. If you're not creative enough to try to find something that's different, and not everyone, like, I have had a fluke. I mean, I started singing before I was rapping, so I sort of have that as my sort of thing that's a bit different. Not every rapper, if you're just straight rapping, it's harder to find something to gravitate to that's, you know, people are gonna like. So, I mean, I don't really blame some of them, but on the other hand, we do need to be creative and we need to make music for our own country first before we make music for other people.
And there's this great synergy figure for West Coast, Toronto.
The Rascals, when they first came out, just represented the four elements of hip-hop, and you can't come any more raw than that, and people were attracted to that. And I think that's what drew people to that group of people, was hip-hop. And it's always gonna, just like, you know, this new video I put out for Superstar, it's like, it's unbelievable how many people get drawn to you because you're doing real hip-hop. Because it's like an art form, it's like a martial art. People are intrigued by it. So I wouldn't give it up to any kind of management company or label as much as I would give it up to the hip-hop, you know?
So is Superstar Part 2 hip-hop?
No, it's not. Yeah, well, the attitude is, because it's talking about people wanting to be superstars. Even if you check that Peter Tosh interlude before, it's kind of saying, you know, we know that everyone's sort of been trying to fool us from the beginning. They want to divide people and make them into superstars. That's all it's really about. People thinking they can use their personalities to blind other people. I think that's a superstar, and that's a big aspect in hip hop. With the blind, bling, bling. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like blind you. If you talk about being blinded, and it's funny, they just basically are blinded by the bling, you know?
Yeah. So what's the difference between blinding someone and showing them the light?
I think that the light's always already there. Showing people the light isn't showing them something they haven't seen before, it's showing something that they already know to be true. Whereas if you blind someone, sometimes it's too much for them. You know, some people, when they're sleeping, when you turn on the light, they say thank you because it's time to wake up. Other people want to throw something at the lamp. It's the same way with the truth. Some people, you show them the light because they're open to it. Showing people the light has nothing to do with you, it has to do with the mindset of the person who you're looking.
Yeah. You talk about highs and lows. Are those kind of analogies for something? Or
in what, like in what song?
Marijuana?
No, yeah, I used to smoke a lot of weed, but I stopped when I came to certain understandings about why I was smoking it. So now it's more about, I drink a little bit now. I drink quite a bit. I just have some glasses of wine, but I'm not. Marijuana to me was something that I dealt with I think it opened my mind to certain things, and once it was open, I didn't really need it anymore. Because I just start to see things like that, just all the time. Yeah, exactly. I think that's what it is people, when your eyes are open to certain things, this has sort of been going on all along, but you never really were receptive to what was going on. You kind of maybe blinded yourself, so you didn't have to deal with this, consequences of seeing the truth,